You are listening to The Space Between Heartbeats, a novel written by Dorothea Z. Bellamy and read aloud by Gerald Foss. Recording 2025. The book begins. Prologue. I'm not coming home. The lie came out flat, almost bored, while I stood on Edenhawk's back deck watching the fog roll in over Port Rye Harbor. Behind me, someone had started a bonfire in the pit below the lawn, and the smoke carried salt and the cheap charcoal smell of lighter fluid. Sage. My mother's voice had that edge, not sharp yet, but sharpening. Finn's been asking for you all day. He found a horseshoe crab shell and he wants to show you. I've seen a horseshoe crab shell, Mom. That's not the point. I turned my back on the harbor and watched Eden's older brother pass a red solo cup to someone from the next town over. The boy I'd been talking to, Caleb, something, dark hair, nice laugh. He was still standing by the railing and he caught my eye and smiled. I'll be home by 11, I said. It's not a big deal. It is to him. He's 10. He'll forget by tomorrow. The silence on her end lasted 3 beats too long. I knew that silence. I'd heard it before. The one where she was deciding whether to push or let go, calculating which fight was worth the energy. Sage, you have to be there for him. The words landed somewhere in my chest, heavy and warm, like she pressed a hand flat against my sternum through the phone. I hated that feeling. Hated how she could reach across miles and still make me feel like I was 8 years old, caught with my hand in the cookie jar. I am there for him, I said. I'm there every single day. I'm allowed one night. Of course you are. Her voice softened and I heard the click of the oven door. She was making Finn's macaroni, the one with the breadcrumb crust he liked. I just worry. About both of you? Don't. I shifted my weight, watched Caleb start walking toward me. I gotta go. I'll be home before curfew. I love you, Sage. Love you too. Tell Finn I'll look at his stupid shell when I get back. She laughed. That quick breathy sound she made when she was relieved. I'll tell him you said stupid. He'll love that. Bye, Mom. Bye, baby. I hung up and slipped the phone into my back pocket. Caleb reached me just as the screen went dark, and he leaned against the railing close enough that I could smell his cologne. Something drugstore and sharp, but not unpleasant. Everything okay? Yeah. Just my mom being dramatic. He nodded like he understood, and I let myself believe that was all it was. My mother being dramatic. My brother being clingy. Me being 15 and tired of being the responsible one for once. The bonfire crackled. Someone's playlist shifted from something fast to something slow. Caleb's hand brushed mine, and I didn't pull away. I left Eden's at 10:40, cutting it close because Caleb had walked me to the end of the driveway and kissed me under the streetlight. Sloppy and a little too wet, but it counted. My first real kiss. I replayed it on the walk home. The way his hand had cupped my jaw. The way my stomach had flipped. The fog had thickened, rolling in off the water like it was hunting for something. It swallowed the streetlights, turned the familiar road into something foreign. I pulled my hoodie tighter and walked faster, my sneakers slapping the damp pavement. I was 3 blocks from home when I saw the lights, blue and red, strobing through the fog like a heartbeat. They painted the houses on my street, the trees, the mailboxes. Everything turned electric and wrong. I started running. The bracelet my mother had given me, silver charms, each one a memory. A sailboat from the summer we went to Bar Harbor, a book from the year I read the entire Harry Potter series aloud to Finn. A tiny star from the night she told me I could be anything. It slid up my wrist and caught on my watch. I didn't stop to fix it. The police cruiser was parked at the end of our lane, lights still spinning, engine still running. An ambulance behind it, doors open, interior light spilling yellow onto the gravel. I couldn't see our house. There were too many people, too many shadows moving in the fog. Sage. I turned. Mrs. Kowalski from 3 doors down was standing on her lawn in her bathrobe, her hand pressed to her mouth. Sage, honey, don't. I pushed past her. The lane was gravel and mud and my sneakers slipped. I caught myself on the neighbor's fence. Scraped my palm on the wood. Kept going. The porch light was on. Finn was sitting on the top step, his knees pulled to his chest, his thick glasses fogged and crooked on his face. His shoes were untied. He was shaking. Finn, he looked up at me, and his eyes were huge behind the lenses, magnified and wet and terrified. He didn't speak. He just pointed, down the lane, past the police cars, past the ambulance, past the cluster of neighbors in their pajamas. I saw the guardrail, the one that ran along the curve where the road hugged the cliffs. The one that was bent and broken, pushed outward toward the water, like something had punched through it. The fog was so thick I couldn't see the bottom of the drop. She was coming back, Finn said. His voice was small and cracked. She forgot the breadcrumbs for the macaroni. She said she'd be right back. I couldn't feel my legs. I couldn't feel